As everybody returns to where they were seated, I hope you don't mind, but I'll be preaching from down here today. Before I do that, though, I want to bring everyone's attention to what our platform is full of. And it's full of testimony. That is what our platform is full of right now, is testimony to what God did this past week during Ignition Week. In particular, all these post-its on this acrylic drum shield are our prayers, our petitions, our praises to God. Every single one of these post-it notes is a prayer. And they were on our walls of our prayer room, some of them forgotten. And so during Ignition Week, we took time as a family of families to go in there and to grab these notes, to read them again, to pray for them. And yes, some of these have been answered, but it doesn't mean God isn't still moving. He is still moving, and some of these may have not have been answered yet, and we prayed that God would move, continue to work in these requests, because God calls us to a persistence in prayer. The cross, during one of our worship nights, Patricia mentioned to me, for some reason, this cross just kept coming to her. She kept seeing this cross, seeing Jesus, and it was really interesting. That was the day we talked about, just as the Son of Man should be lifted up, like the serpent in the wilderness that Moses lifted up, that whoever would look and see him would believe. And it was that day that she asked if she could bring in this banner, this crown of thorns, these streamers of red to signify the sacrifice he made on our behalf. She made these beautiful nails for us. It's not real blood, it's nail polish. But she put red nail polish on them to remind us of the nails he bore for on our behalf. And these are up here for you to take and to hold while you pray. Sometimes it's good to have that physical thing near you to remind ourselves, just like communion, through the bread and the cup, to remind us of the sacrifice he bore, which was something that was up here and available for you, and is still up here and available for you to come to the Lord in prayer. I think about this vase and the beautiful flowers we had during June's reception. Oh, how much we are going to miss our dear sister, and how much we mourn today. But here is the hope, that we mourn as those who have hope, in knowing that there is a great family reunion coming, a great family reunion. And as they spoke multiple times at June's funeral, she's up there dancing right now. Dancing, dancing, dancing. And as Patricia mentioned, it was beautiful to see the church be the church. While we have this wonderful reception going on, continuing in our journey together as a family of families in prayer. And then this painting. This is part of how God moved. It is part of what God spoke. And out of that is birthing something that's going to be very beautiful that you'll be hearing about here very soon. I don't want to jump the gun on the ladies who have talked about the ministry of art and some things that may be coming from that, birthed forth from Ignition Week. It was Ignition Week. And it was a wonderful week for us to come together as a family of families to pray with one another and for one another. And the Spirit of God moved in power. God's Spirit moved in power. And Emily testified to some of those things. These symbols, these things we have up here are testimonies to what God did this last week. And it'd be a crying shame for us on the cusp of Ignition Week to slow down in our prayer. It would be a crying shame that once God has ignited our hearts to say, okay, God, we're good now. Thank you for the great week. See you next time. So today I want to kind of explain what's going to be happening. At the end of my sermon, you are being warned right now that I'm going to invite you for prayer. I'm going to invite you to come and to be prayed over. Our prayer team is well aware that this is going to be happening, but it doesn't even have to be our prayer team praying over you. It could be your neighbor in your chair right next to you. You just grab their hand and say, I need prayer. Because I know, as the good old hymnal goes, it's me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer. It's me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer. And I want to thank my sisters who came up here today to pray with me during our time of prayer, because I too am standing in the need of prayer. And what we learn is that there is never such thing as too much prayer. There is no such thing as too much prayer. In fact, God awaits our prayers. This is what Isaiah 30:18 says. Therefore, the Lord waits to be gracious to you, and therefore he exalts himself to show mercy to you. For the Lord is a God of justice. Blessed are those who wait for him. And there's a persistence in prayer that we are taught in the Bible that we're going to be talking about today, that these words of Paul from 1 Thessalonians 5:16-18, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. This is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Christ has this will for us, that we would always rejoice, that we would always pray, that we would always give thanks in both the good and the bad. That's rough, giving thanks in both the good and the bad. It's easy to praise God when things are going good, when things are great. But when we're facing tribulation, when we're facing trial, when we're struggling, it's a whole other thing. But it's in giving thanks to God in both the good and the bad that reminds us of who God is, what it is that God is doing, how it is that God is moving. As Paul would say in other places, rejoice. Again, I say rejoice. Rejoice in the Father. So we are going to be spending some special time today together in prayer with each other and for one another, persisting in our prayer, as we're going to be learning today in the gospel as we turn to the gospel of Luke, continuing our journey and discovering how it is Jesus instructs us, how it is Jesus teaches us to pray. And in particular, in Luke's gospel, we learn that there is a persistence in prayer. Prayer is not a one and done thing. It is something that is never ceasing, always moving, always going, always working, that we are to constantly meet God on our knees. We're going to be reading the Gospel of Luke, verses 11 through 13, as we've had these past several weeks, to see chapter 11, verses 1 through 13, to see how it is God has called us to persist, to endure, to keep on. Now, Jesus was praying in a certain place, and when he finished, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray as John taught his disciples. And he said to them, when you pray, say, Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Give us each daily our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we ourselves forgive everyone who is indebted to us, and lead us not into temptation. And he said to them, which of you who has a friend will go to him at midnight and say to him, friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine has arrived on a journey, and I have nothing to set before him. And he will answer from within, do not bother me. The door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot get up and give you anything. I tell you, though he will not get up and give him anything because he is his friend, yet because of his impotence, he will rise and give him whatever he needs. And I tell you, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be open to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks, it will be opened. What father among you, if his son asks for a fish, will instead of a fish give him a serpent? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Amen. How much more will our Heavenly Father give to those who ask, who seek, who knock? This is the word of the Lord, and for our purposes today, we're going to be zooming in to verses 5 through 13. We're going to be zooming into this parable Jesus teaches us and these other teachings he gives us about prayer. And for this sake, we need to understand something here. He's asking us a question. Jesus is asking us directly a question. When he teaches his disciples, he's asking us to put ourselves in the parable, to put ourselves in the place of the person knocking at the door. We see this in verse 5 when he says, which of you? This is a personal teaching. Which one of you has a friend? Who here doesn't have a friend? No hands. We all have a friend. We all have a friend. So which one of you who has a friend will go to him at midnight and say to him, "Friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine has arrived on a journey and I have nothing to set before him." And he will answer from within, "Do not bother me, the door is shut. My children are with me in bed. I cannot get up and give you anything." Now, before we think in our minds, we would never do such a thing like this. I mean, I know for me, this would be unheard of. I'm not going to show up at your house unannounced at midnight. I make you that promise. Unless it's a really, really big emergency, then I might. But you don't expect me to pound at your door at midnight. But there's something here that Jesus is trying to show us, and it's also something that's ingrained in this culture. Now, I wouldn't show up at your house at midnight, nor would I probably call. And that's something, if you were on Facebook, you may have saw a post of mine. I asked, when is it too late for you to call a friend? When is it too late to even text a friend? You know, for me, I wouldn't, in fear of waking someone up, try to text them past 8:30. That's just me. Now, what's interesting is during the survey, we got a gambit of responses. Does anybody want to know what the survey says? Anyone kind of want to guess? Rose? Nine o'clock was the main cutoff. So that was the number one answer. 9 o'clock. But everybody had different responses. One of the interesting things I found is a lot of people kind of flipped the question of when's it too late to contact me instead of when is it too late for them to contact someone. So we got a lot of people who said, "You can call me whenever. You can call me whenever you want," and that is awesome. And we should be available to one another just like that, because that's how God's available to us. But at the same time, we all have that internal deadline that says, it can wait till the morning, probably. It can wait till the morning. So 9 o'clock was the most popular answer. Now see, what about coming to your house at midnight and pounding at your door for 3 loaves of bread? Would you do that? Would you do that? You see, we need to see the audacity of the request. And it is in this where we learn something significant about what Jesus is teaching us about prayer. Because we need to understand this culture too and put ourselves in this culture. See, in this day and age, whenever a traveler would come to your house and you were hosting guests, you were expected to feed them. you were expected to provide some form of food. It's kind of like last night we had a game night with a lot of our youth and our college age students at our house. And I'm like, oh, we need to get chips. And we need to have Pepsi. And we need to have all these other things. Because, you know, it's just when you host people, you want to give them food. You want them to have something to eat. So this traveler comes unexpected to this person's house. And in this culture, honor was a very significant thing. And you would honor your guests by giving them food. In particular, here is bread. And so if you can picture this with me, in today's day and age, this is someone who has someone that has come over. They have nothing in their house. Let's pretend we had the technology of then. There's no refrigerator, no freezer stocked with food. There's no supermarket that you can run to at midnight to get food, nor do you have canned goods just stowed away in a cupboard from failed attempts at recipes long ago. Not that we have that cupboard full of canned goods of failed recipes from long ago. The thing is, you don't have those things. So what do? You go to your friend. You go to your friend because they're your friend and that they would understand. They would understand that you have nothing to give them. You have nothing to present them. Granted, I can see many of us reacting in this day and age more so like the friend inside the house. My kids are asleep. Do you know how hard it is to just do that? You know, every night when me and Jeanette put Obadiah down, we do this. Touchdown. Because every one of our kids have slept like this. And so that's the symbol that the kids are finally asleep. And boy, it's a joyous victory every night. The point is, if someone came pounding and pounding at the door, it's like, keep it down. We just got the kids to bed. Here, take these Doritos. Take these Doritos and go. Go to Walmart, for peep's sake. They didn't have these things back then. And this man, us, that Jesus is addressing, which one of you has a friend? We all have those friends. We all have our brothers and sisters in Christ to go and pound on the door at midnight. But more importantly, we have Jesus. It doesn't matter what time of day. And the great thing about Jesus is he doesn't need to be awoken. God doesn't need to be awoken. He is awake. He is alert. He is ready for that midnight cry, for that cry of desperation. He is ready and he is willing. And there's something about what Jesus teaches us here, though. It's about persisting. Because when you go to a friend's house at midnight, you may have to knock once. You may have to knock twice. You may have to knock thrice. You may just have to keep on knocking to get an answer. The point is, Jesus says, I tell you, though he will not get up and give him anything because he is a friend, yet because of his impotence, he will rise and get him whatever he needs. Because of his impotence. It wasn't because of their friendship that the friend will get up and get what he needs, although that helps. It was because of the shameless persistence. And that is what the Bible is trying to communicate to us here. In fact, other translations translate this as persistence, as shamelessness. It's because of his shamelessness that that we beat on the door shamelessly. Help us, help us. Shameless persistence. Now, shamelessness is kind of seen as a negative thing in our culture today. It's not something that we typically look on and say, oh, that's something to be honored, shamelessness. But shamelessness can be both a good and bad thing. In fact, one commentator says, it can be bad or good depending on the circumstances. If there are good reasons to feel shame, shamelessness is a bad thing. But if one's cause is good, shameless insistence is good. One of the responses that we got on that Facebook feed time and time again is, you can come to me whenever. There is no cutoff. Even if it's not an emergency, you can come to me. And that's how God says that we can come to him. And there's no shame in having to do this because There's someone that's come to my house and I have nothing to eat. I have nothing to give him. I have nothing to present before him. And that is the expectation. Help me. Please help. This example Jesus gives us is not a negative understanding of shameless persistence. Rather, it is a good example of how we should shamelessly persist with God in prayer, and that God welcomes us to shamelessly persist, to keep on praying, to keep on keeping on. It's at this point in the Gospel of Luke where we see a very famed teaching of Jesus, a famed teaching about prayer that's often quoted, and it's not just in the Gospel of Luke, it's also in the Gospel of Matthew, but Luke puts this teaching right here next to this parable for a reason. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be open to you. For everyone who seeks receives, and the one who, asks, receives, and the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks, it will be open. The place of this teaching, ask, seek, knock, is not by mistake. It's intentional, and it's pivotal to understanding what it is that God is inviting us to do, to persist, to keep asking, to keep seeking, to keep knocking. Understanding that prayer is not a once and done thing, but it's an act of persistence. I know fully in our American society and American culture, this is hard. I've said this before, and I hate to just repeat myself over and over again, but we live in a microwave society. We want to take the frozen dinner out of the freezer, rip it out of its packaging, slap it in the microwave, press frozen dinner. Did you ever notice that microwaves did away with a lot of the number buttons and then put in more, press this for frozen dinner, press this for popcorn? You know, it's just, before you know it, there's just going to be this large panel of buttons that, what are you cooking? Press this button. You know, press this for soup. And the thing is, we want to just press one button now. Not only do we want our dinner and want it now, we want to just press one button and be done with it. When we know that there is something special about taking time, being patient, cutting ingredients one by one, mixing and blending spices, setting the oven to the right temperature to preheat, cooking for so long, taking it out to cool, then cooking again some more, that those indeed are the best of meals. Those ones where we have to persist over in preparation. We can't just leave the room for an hour and burn the food. We have to keep coming back. But in our culture, we live in this microwave society that wants things to be done and over with, that wants things to just be quick and easy. Some things aren't quick and easy. Some of the most difficult lessons of life take time to learn. Sometimes we have to open our eyes and look around to see what God is actually doing before us as we pray. Sometimes, all the time, we need to make sure we don't stop knocking. One writer actually writes about this idea of ask, seek, and knocking. And he says this, the stacking of these words is extremely forceful. In fact, they are present imperatives. Now, let me explain what that is, a present imperative. It's an idea of persistence. It's an idea of keeping on. And he goes on to say that the text actually reads, keep on asking, and it will be given to you. Keep on seeking, and you will find. Keep on knocking, and it will be open to you. The man in this picture will not stop knocking. Will continue in their persistence. You know, we want life's problems to be solved like this. And the reality is, life takes time. Growth takes time. Transformation in Christ takes time. And when we can understand where Luke puts this teaching in his gospel, why it is the friend gets out of bed and gives his friend the bread, because of his shameless persistence, It is here where Jesus invites us to keep on. To keep on keeping on. In terms of asking, Jesus tells us to persist in our prayer, to keep on asking, to keep on requesting assistance, to keep on a better understanding of our situation, that He is God and we are not. To ask immediately suggests to go to a superior. To ask immediately suggests is to humble ourselves, to say, God, we don't know, but You do. We don't know, God, but we know that you know. And instead of falling into the trap of our original sin, trying to do this without God, continually keeping on asking to invite God into our mess. Instead of creating a bigger mess, trying to take things into our own hands, it is living in a place where we understand we need God in every moment of every day. That authentic prayer is born out of asking. Keeping on in persistence. Understanding we find the answers to our sufficiency in Him. That He is fully sufficient. He is sufficient. And we'll never find fulfillment outside of Him. So keep on asking. I think about my son. My son, Lucas, if he had a doll with a pull string, it would say, Dad, I got a question. Dad, I got a question. Just one phrase. Dad, I got a question. He always has a question because he's trying to learn about the world around him. He's trying to discover the world around him. And God invites us to be as persistent in our questionings as a child is persistent in their questionings. Because a child needs help to understand what's happening. All throughout Ignition Week, Dad, I got a question. We'd be in the middle of praying. He would butt in and he's like, Dad, I got a question. I got like, well, why are we doing this? And you know, I felt frustration rising in my heart, and I pray for forgiveness for that. Because you know, God never is frustrated when we go to Him and say, Dad, I have a question. Because, Dad, I'm dependent on You to help me understand my present situation, to understand why this is happening. And in this, there's seeking. Prayer is not just a passive act of asking. It is an act of seeking. It is an action. There should be an action in our persistence in prayer. Seeking is a physical action. The idea here is not just expressing our need, but being open and to actually actively be looking to the answer that God is already providing. A lot of the times I feel like the answer to our prayers is right in front of us. But we don't want to see that answer. We want to see another answer. Or not that way, God. We were thinking we were going to do this way. This is how You're supposed to solve my problems, God. Not this way. When we go to the Lord in prayer and persistence, we must be willing to also bring our prayer to action, to actually seek. And it is only when we seek, we will find. You know, if you could just imagine these steps where a lazy boy, it's like, okay, God, I'm just going to sit here, kick my feet up, TV's on, You know what I need. No. God calls us to get up off of our lazy butts and to seek Him, and to seek His answer persistently. You know, speaking of TV remotes, it's kind of like how when Obadiah gets his hand on our TV remote at home, it normally disappears and is long lost for weeks at a time, and it takes active seeking to find it. You know, we flip couches, we do all kinds of things to find the precious TV remote. If we go to that extent to find a TV remote, how much more should we go to an extent to find Jesus? How much more should we go to that extent to find Jesus? Leading us to the last of the verbs of action that Jesus teaches us about prayer, to knock. This surely is a reference to what Jesus has already taught us in the parable, this idea of persistently knocking, pounding at the door. And I guarantee there's people here who feel that their hand is bruised from all their knocking. I know when I was going through chemo, anytime I had to knock on a door, I dreaded it because it's just like each tap was just like, oh, it's so hurt. It hurts so much. Your hand is bruised from all your knocking, and you're wondering, when, God, when will you open this door? When will the person inside the house finally come and open? And what we see here in prayer is there's a nature of asking that's not just passive, but active and persistent. You may need to knock twice, thrice, four times. The point is, if it's really important to you, you will keep on knocking. Just like the Lord's Prayer when it says, "Your kingdom come, Lord, your will be done," inviting his rule and reign. You know, it's one thing that we would do that right now, and we'd say, "Lord, we want your rule and reign, we want your kingdom." And then tomorrow we may do it, but then for the next year, we never once utter those words. We never once utter, "God, we want to invite your rule and reign in our lives." It's one of those things where if it's really important, we're going to keep pounding on that door. No matter how much our hand hurts, we will keep knocking and knocking to do what it takes for that door to be open. Because it'll only be opened when it's to be opened, in God's timing. And boy, would we love God to operate in our timing sometimes. I don't think in those cases, we're just like, "Why, God, are you not just doing this?" I think it's those times where he's telling us, "Because you can't handle it right now. Keep asking. Keep seeking. Keep knocking." Now, if you knock on our door, no matter what time of day it is, you will immediately be greeted by the sounds of thundering feet and kids rushing the door, Phoebe to beat them all the time. You know, Phoebe, and we're trying to tell her, "Phoebe, don't just open the door. You know, let mom and dad get there." Quite frankly, though, just like faith, like a child, I think there's some promise for us with God. Because when we knock on his door, there are thundering footsteps. Because God is coming to answer. Ask and you will receive. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be open. And it is here where Jesus poses the grand question: how much more? What father among you, if his son asks for a fish, will instead of a fish give him a serpent? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? How much more? A phrase that's uttered multiple times in the Bible. How much more will God? What Jesus is literally saying here, as we see this full teaching as a whole, is if a grouchy friend, groggy friend, angry friend, who you just woke up his whole household for a bag of Doritos, will come to the door and give you that bag of Doritos, how much more would God come to your behalf? How much more? For as Jesus teaches us to pray, as we discussed last week, was to raise to God our needs rather than our greeds in praying, to give us our daily bread, to forgive us our debts, to deliver us from evil, to even before we go to that place, to acknowledge who he is, and what he's capable of, ultimately seeking to pray for his will, his purpose, his rule and reign. Because prayer is an act of trust. Because we know how much more God would bestow upon his grace and mercy. We know how much more God would respond to the knocking. God would respond to the seeking. God will respond to the asking. We know how much more. God will. God invites your prayers. God not only invites them, he invites you to persist, to keep on asking, to keep on seeking, to keep on knocking. Which right now, I'd like to ask the question, would we persist as his people? Would we persist together? Because it would be a crying shame once again for what took place this past week for us to stop now. After God has ignited the hearts of many, after God has moved in the hearts of many, it would be a crying shame for us to just drop it right now and say, okay, God, that was nice. Go you. And just go back to the way things were before. What I would love to do right now is invite those here, which I would beg to say is almost all of us. It is all of us who is standing in that need of prayer to come before the Father, to keep on asking, to keep on seeking, to keep on knocking. Our prayer team will be ready to receive you, and I'd like to invite our prayer team up here. And it doesn't have to be a member of our prayer team either. It can be your neighbor right next to you. Ask them to help you ask. Ask them to help you seek. Ask them to help you knock.